The rest of you, if you've got your Bible or a Bible app on your phone or some other device, turn to John chapter 5. We've been in a series called The Red Letters, taking a look at the things that Jesus said. I think most here probably know that when you open your Bible, if you see red letters, that means Jesus said those words. Okay? Not all Bibles have red letters, but some do. That's what it means. Jesus is speaking. And so we've been working our way through John just to see what Jesus has to say. God himself said that we should listen to Jesus. And so that's what we're going to do. In John chapter 5, we're starting at verse 16. And if you would please stand while I read here. It says, "So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, 'My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working.' For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, 'I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." All right, you may be seated. If you want a theme of these few verses here, I put it this way: like Father, like Son is the theme I see here. Over and over, Jesus talks about the Father and then says, likewise, the Son. He just back and forth this way, like Father, like Son. And we'll touch on that theme off and on here. But in verse 17, Jesus says, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." God is working today. He didn't just kind of wind things up and then go away and let things run. I think that's a deist view. But God is at work today. There's a story of an atheist and a minister that were standing in a long shopping queue, and the atheist noticed the minister's collar, and he said, "I don't believe in God." The minister at first was taken aback by the comment out of the blue and says, "Really? I do. But listen, if you don't believe in God, tell me what the God you don't believe in is like." "What do you mean? I don't believe in God." "Yes," the minister continues, "but you must have some concept of what the God you reject is supposed to be like in the minds of people who do believe." The atheist sees his point and says, "I don't believe in a God way up there in heaven while there's all this pain down here on earth. He could stop it. He could stop it all, but he doesn't do a thing. He's supposed to be all loving, but he obviously doesn't care about anybody but himself. That's the God I don't believe in." "That's good," says the minister. "I wouldn't believe in that sort of God either. The God I believe in is nothing like that at all." God is at work, and he is involved in lives today. Aren't you glad that he's concerned about what's going on in your life? He didn't just start things up 6,000 some years ago and then walk away. He's still involved today. Now, we know that God rested on the seventh day, if you read the Genesis account, but that doesn't mean he quit working altogether. And Jesus followed the Father's example, like Father, like Son. God is still working. Jesus is at work as well. And in 1 John 3:8, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus is at work in the lives of people, and he wants to put the work of the enemy to an end. He wants to stop that. Now, if Jesus wants to be like the Father, we should want to be like Jesus. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. God is working, Jesus is working, and we ought to be working as well. We should follow his example. Last week we talked about not giving up hope. There's always hope in our future. And if we don't become weary in doing good, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up hope. So keep pressing on. Then in verse 19, the red letters say, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. There it is, like Father, like Son. Jesus was not about doing his own agenda. He only wanted to do what God the Father was telling him to do. And we should have the same sort of attitude. It's not all about my agenda or what I want, but it's about what God wants. It's about what Jesus wants and how he is leading us. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That's exactly where our focus needs to be. Sometimes we've got something on our hearts and our minds that we want to do, but we need to stop and ask ourselves, is that the way Jesus is leading us? Or is that just something of my own making? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The truth is, any work we do without Jesus really amounts to very little. You know, we could do some things in this life and it might impress your friends, but does it really have any kingdom value? And I would contend that without Jesus leading it, it has no kingdom value at all. We need to make sure we're following the lead of Jesus. There's an old song, Mylon Lefevre wrote it. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. We all need Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on him and only do what he is leading us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Then in verse 21, Jesus says, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Here's what I want you to know. Eternal life rests in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not in religious rituals, and it's not in your own resourcefulness. It's in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to live forever in the kingdom of heaven? You want to go to heaven? Yeah. Well, you cannot earn your way there. You cannot just follow a series of rituals your whole life and think you're going to get there. It's in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, it's kind of like this. Jesus wants to take your hand and walk you into heaven. But if you won't take his hand, how are you going to get there? You can sit over here and do all your little rhymes and reasons and everything else, but Jesus is going towards heaven. We need to walk with him, be in a right relationship with him, and he leads us into eternal life. In John 11:25, Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And that's our great hope. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we get to live even after we die. Praise the Lord. Verse 22, Jesus says, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to his Son. That is good news. God has entrusted judgment to the Son. And here is my point in why I say it's such good news, because the Son is sympathetic with our situation. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16 says this, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Here's my point. Jesus knows what it is to be human. He knows what it is to struggle and be tempted and to deal with the enemy in this weakness of our flesh. Jesus understands that. And so when he judges, he sees through those eyes, oh, I remember what that was like. That's the kind of judge I want. Somebody who kind of understands my situation. Don't you? That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Again, here's the point. Eternal life rests in a relationship with Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5:11 and 12 says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's he who believes him who sent me. He who hears. And in the original language, those are what are called present participles, which means it's an ongoing action. So it's not you just hear once and you believe once, but you continue hearing and you continue believing. That's the idea. That's the call for us. And we need to believe in the Son. And I want you to know that God does not want to condemn anybody. That's the Father's heart. Listen to John 3, 16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now listen to the rest of it. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's the good news. There is a tragic misconception that God just wants to come down on everybody. And sometimes Christians are even portrayed in that light, that they just condemn everybody all the time. And that is not the gospel that is found in the Bible. That is not the gospel that is found in the red letters. The gospel that I know is that God loves people and he doesn't want to condemn anybody. And we, as his followers, should have that same example, that we neither are condemning of people, but instead we want to give them hope and life through Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's no more condemnation for you. At one point you were marked for death in hell's flames. But now that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, no more condemnation for you. Isn't that great? That's awesome news. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him, it's more than just a mental thing. You know, I can read the story and I believe it. But it should also affect us in how we behave. Let me read 1 John 3:14. It says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. You see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it is not just a logical, intelligent thing we do, but it affects our hearts and our behavior, and we should then love other people, especially the brotherhood of believers. That should be in us. Then verse 30, the red letters say this. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Jesus only wanted to please the Father. That was his whole motivation. I just want to please the Father. That should be our motivation as well. I just want to please the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:4. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Jesus is our commanding officer. And if we truly love him and follow him, we just want to please him. It's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. If I can get in your face a little bit, it's not about what you want either. It's about what he wants. We should only want to please him. And I said the theme earlier is like father, like son. Notice the unity of the Father and the Son. In verse 17, they are unified in their work. In verse 22, they are unified in their judgment. And in verse 24, they are unified in giving life. They are together. They are thinking the same, like Father, like Son. And so, if they are unified, we ought to be unified as well. And how do we accomplish that? Verse 17, we should work together. Verse 19, we should focus on Jesus. Verse 22, we should leave judgment to him. But when it's absolutely necessary for us to make some judgments, we ought to do it with a sympathetic heart, just like Jesus does. And in verse 30, we should seek to please him, not ourselves. And if we take these kind of attitudes, we can be unified, just like the Father and the Son are unified together. Like Father, like Son. You need to understand that we are his sons. Ladies, I mean no offense by that. We men have to come to terms with we are the bride of Christ. So you women can be sons of God, okay? I understand. 1 John 3:2 says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We are his sons, like father, like sons. And then to be like him, we need to be renewed. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Like father, like son, there's some things we need to work to put away and put on the new so that we can be like him. And to be like him, we have to die to ourselves. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Jesus came to die. And when he calls us to follow him, he calls us to die as well. And I don't mean to go out and, you know, Harry Carey commit suicide. That's not what he calls us to do. But he calls us to die to our own selfishness and our own selfish desires so that we can reach the world with the love of Jesus. And that takes a sort of a death in us. Because it is so innate in us to be all about me, me, me. To be selfish, what I get, what I want. But he calls us to die to that, to put others first. And to be like him, we have to stay focused on him all the time. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God." As we focus on Jesus and we keep our eyes on him, something changes in us. So we focus on him, and he makes us more and more like himself. We are transformed into his image. Like father, like son. We also should follow the example of Christ. Work for the kingdom. Do only as God leads. Give life by leading people to Jesus. Let Jesus be the judge and live to please God, not yourself. Like father, like son. I want to be more like Jesus. How about you? I want to be more like Jesus. How about you? Jesus only wanted to please the Father. And I want to only please the Lord. To do away with my own selfishness. And I wrestle with that. I understand that wrestle that we have. Yeah, I like to just do whatever I want to do. I understand that. And I have to deal with that in my own heart. But deep down in my core, I just want to please the Lord. However he leads, that's the way we're going to go. Are you with me on that? Praise the Lord. Would you please stand?